It's great to be here in front of this microphone. How did we get here, Keith?
It was just a little bit by accident, I think, that you happened to be doing something in the garden one day and I happened to be walking past and said,
Dogs happen to chat.
Our dogs
mine
love
more
the good
than
chat.
Yours.
Yep. And we happened to say, well, I happened to say to you, well, here's an opportunity to do something a bit different and have you tried doing it this way?
That's right, and I have never stopped asking you since, have I? So that's, I think, why we're doing these podcasts now, because we know we've got so much to talk about. I've got so many questions to ask and you have so much to tell me.
And I just love sharing it. That's just the key to it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we have a great relationship because I am the typical home gardener who doesn't necessarily know what she's doing and really wants to get to that point too quickly, and I've come to you, who's going to give me all the details, because you know exactly what you're doing.
And I'm very, very happy to share it.
Let's have a chat about something. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I think what we should talk about is where everything gardening related starts.
Which is?
With the soil.
That's right.
And the best soil is?
Composted soil.
Yeah. Well, there's rainforests from Hobart all the way up to Cairns. So there's even rainforests on the northern part of Tasmania. There's rainforests, and there used to be rainforests all the way up to Cairns.
Mm. Used to be.
Yeah, used to be. They're very, very slow growing, so they're generally the first thing that goes when there's a fire or something else, and of course, you know, everything else kicks in and takes over. But I like to sort of say, well, you know, people have been to a rainforest and walked in, and what's the first thing you notice? It's the smell. You get this magnificent smell of
decomposing.
Yeah, but it's not a horrible decomposing.
No, it's
smell,
a fresh it's decomposition. Fresh. Yes.
Yeah, the floral, the flora and the fauna on the ground. You look around and you see all these magnificent great big trees that are growing in that environment, and then all the levels of the trees in that environment. You know, so there's the big top canopy and the understory and all the rest of it, right down to what's growing on the ground in that rainforest.
Yes.
And it's all sustained by itself. And when you look at the floor of the rainforest, you see leaves and twigs. But if you brush the top little bit away, the stuff that's below it looks less like the stuff that's above it, because it's starting to break down and decompose, until you brush it right away and dig down deeper and you see this beautiful brown stuff. And that brown stuff is called humate. And that's the building blocks of life.
And that's all naturally composted, all naturally broken down. So coming back to us as gardeners and us as human beings, when it comes to composting day to day, it doesn't happen quite as naturally, does it?
No, but if we step back and think about how it is created naturally, then that's the formula that we need to follow.
That's right. But there is a formula. There really is a formula to it. But even I think if we can go back even further, why is, not just for us gardeners, what is important about composting? Why should we be composting?
Because the more of that material that we can put into the soil, the more we can sustain above the soil. So the more plants we can grow, the more vegetables we can grow, and so on. And if it's like a rainforest where this is happening on a natural basis all the time, then it's self-fulfilling. But we don't have that situation here in the garden.
No, we don't. And ultimately, what good is it doing to the planet as well if we are composting?
Well, all that is sequestering carbon. So getting it out of the environment and putting it into the ground is the best thing that you can possibly do for the environment.
That's right. And if we're putting it into our waste, our rubbish, which a lot of us are doing, that's a negative. That is a bad thing.
It is. Well, that's going to landfill. That's creating methane gases, which are actually more harmful to the environment than CO2.
Exactly. And what I think I've read that almost 50% of what we're putting into landfill could actually be composted.
Absolutely.
And so it's something that I'd love to talk about, because it's something that we need to try and encourage people to do more, because there are a lot of people out there who I don't think who are composting. Not just us gardeners, but just for the sake of the planet.
Well, there's one thing that I don't have in my garbage collection, and that's a green bin.
I know, you don't. You don't.
So we compost everything at home.
Yeah.
Goes into a worm farm or it goes into the compost bin.
That's right. So I have a compost bin too, but I also have a garden waste bin, because I just cannot keep up with that composting. My bin can't, so I need to get another bin. I need to talk to you about that as well, what the options are as far as equipment's concerned as well. But to start with, let's talk about how we do it.
Okay, so compost, there's been more books and theses written on compost. And the one that works for me and has worked for the gardeners that I've worked with in the past is a carbon to nitrogen ratio. And that ratio is one part carbon to three parts nitrogen. So what is the carbon component, do you think, or what could it be?
Carbon component, I think, is more the dry, the sticks, the cardboard, the wood, you know, the dry, the brown stuff
That's
that we put into our compost compared to the green, which is?
Nitrogen, which is kitchen scraps, it's grass clippings, it's green leaves.
Yes.
It's all those sorts of things.
Yes.
If we want the perfect way of creating compost quickly, then what we do is we have one bucket full of the carbon component, and that might be go around and collect all the brown leaves or the twigs and things, or more simply, paper.
Mm.
And shredded paper is one of the best forms of carbon that you can possibly get.
And shredded because we don't all have shredders in our homes. The more it's cut up, the quicker it decomposes.
Exactly, because that then has pockets of air in it.
Mm.
So if we just had the nitrogen component, we just chucked it on the ground, what would happen is it would turn into a real messy, stinky slurry. And what that is anaerobic.
Yes.
All right, so when you've got a compost bin that smells, it means that it's run out of oxygen.
Too wet, yeah.
Yeah, it's too wet.
Yeah.
So there's not enough of Not enough air getting in and not enough of the capacity to suck up that moisture.
Mm.
And that's what paper does, or twigs, or leaves.
If we don't have a shredder, I mean, I'm just thinking of myself and thinking about probably a lot of people who might be listening who are just going, look, I've just got my kitchen waste and I've got my, you know, my green waste that I throw into the compost bin all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to remember, I've got to stop whenever I do that. What do I do?
Carbon layer should go on first. So you put that on first.
Just because we're all living our speedy lives, so we start a compost bin with carbon, is that what you mean?
That's what we start off with.
Okay, so once that's in, filled up our kitchen caddy.
We put three lots of nitrogen over the top of it.
Okay, and then we go, right, we put three kitchen caddies worth in, we better get some more carbon.
And we put the carbon on top of that again.
So we've just got to get into the habit.
And the process keeps on going.
Get into the habit of doing 3-1, 3-1,
3-1. That's it.
Okay.
And that's going to give you the best compost that you'll ever come across, because it's never going to run out of food and it's never going to run out of air.
Yes.
But the food side of it, what's the food side of it? Where's the food side of it coming in? What are we feeding? What are we feeding in the compost? Well, in order to create compost, the carbon and the nitrogen is actually a source of food. So that source of food and the creation of the compost. Have you ever put lots of green material down on the ground somewhere on a compost heap and then come back in a couple of hours later and what have you seen rising off the top of the compost? Steam?
Oh, okay.
All right. So where's the steam? How's the steam being created? Microbes that are working microbes are on our bodies now. There's millions of microbes on our bodies doing what they do. There's millions of microbes in our stomachs and that's what breaks down our food. It's not just the muscles and so forth, it's the microbes living within our body that does all this. So the same thing is happening with your compost. So there are three main types of microbes that work within the compost area. There is one called an actinomite. Then it works very, very low temperatures. And then there's another one that works in, say, temperatures between 20 and 30 to 40 degrees Celsius, and that's called a mesophile.
Mm.
And there's one that then works and creates an even hotter temperature because it's going like the clappers, and that's called a thermophile. So it will create, if there's plenty of air, plenty of food, you've got the hottest compost that you can possibly get, and that is just brilliant for the garden and for the compost because it destroys seeds, weeds, bacteria, disease, all sorts of nasty things.
Which is what we want.
Which is what you want. You want compost really,
soil.
Really quickly
healthy
to
plant.
Get, you know, so that you can then put it back into your garden.
Right. Just thinking about the listeners out there and me, who, well, I obviously have a garden, but there are a lot of people who don't, and perhaps not as passionate about their garden, but want to do something for the planet, so want to do some composting. How do we make it easy for them? What's the easiest process?
Well, it depends what they want to create. If they want good, healthy plants, then what they can do just very, very simply is to apply over all their garden beds a mulch, It's as simple as that. Put a mulch over all their garden beds. And then after that, go over and apply a fertiliser, but an organic fertiliser like blood and bone or chicken manure or whatever else. And that is the start of a composting system that's going to break things down and get down into the soil where the roots are of the plants, and that will then, you know, create this healthy environment for those plants.
Okay. But what about the people who actually want to do something, as I said, for the planet, and they want to do some compost, they want to help? They not have a garden, but they want to give it to a school or give it to, their neighbour who has a garden, but they want to compost, but the easiest way to do it is to, you have to, obviously there's that recipe, but is there a
You can either do it in a compost bin or you can do it in the open. It doesn't matter, in a designated area.
Okay.
Just as long as you're doing it. Yeah, that's all. Okay. That's the most important thing.
There are things called bokashi bins. There are a number of different
composting
processes. And by people living in flats or, apartment buildings and things like that, there are a number of different ways to do it.
So if you're living in an apartment, the best thing you do would be actually to have a worm farm, which is a totally different subject we're talking about.
Okay.
A bokashi bin is a way of, it's not a composting system, it is a fermentation process. So it uses materials that create a fermentation process to break down those components, those green components. So if you had a bokashi bucket or that sort of a system in the house, the best way to do that is to go outside, dig a hole in the ground and then put that bucket when it's full into the ground, and then that will slowly go from a fermentation process into a composting process.
Okay.
And that's a great way of doing it as well.
Because then
brilliant.
And then you're doing it
for
a number of reasons. Rotating bin. What are your thoughts on
that? Greatest useless piece of rubbish that anyone ever thought of.
Okay, don't get one of those then.
Never get one of those things. And the reason for that is that how do you know when it's ready? If you keep opening up the lid, chucking fresh stuff in, closing the lid, turning it, all you're doing is mixing the fresh stuff with the old stuff.
And you never get to use the old.
You never get to use it.
Yes, I understand that. Makes sense.
So useless.
Yep. Did I say that I've actually just ordered a new bin? Because I have got the bin that you just lift up, and I've always had that problem of having to lift it up, take the top layer off because that's obviously hasn't been composted, then to get to the bottom layer.
Yeah.
It's always been a bit of a nightmare. Mm-hmm. I've just bought a bin which has a little trap door.
Ooh,
isn't that fantastic?
Great.
Oh, well, is it fantastic?
Oh, well, it could be. I don't know.
Because you've opened the door and then you can see the composted material at the bottom and you haven't got to worry about getting that top layer off.
Exactly.
So I'm a bit excited about that.
Another great way, if you're not interested in going practically into the carbon to nitrogen ratio, the best thing you can do then is just to get a fork and just keep on turning it all over. And that allows the air to get into it to feed the microbes.
Okay.
So that's another great way of doing it.
But you still need that carbon, don't you?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but you don't need to be so particular. Well, that was what I was trying to say before for the listeners who are out there and me, who has this kitchen waste and think, throw it in the bin, and think, oh, gosh, I forgot, I haven't put any carbon in. So actually by just stirring it up
you're introducing
on a constant basis.
Which is what, because the compost heat will
never
ever run out of food. It'll run out of air first. So by forking it, you're lifting it, getting air in, bang.
Okay. Oh, that's great to hear.
And then I was going to say what happens then is that we get the compost worms to come in.
Yes.
And they actually feed off the microbes or they'll feed off the material that microbes have created and break that down even further into enzymes and so forth that are then available to the plants.
And we don't have to introduce them. They will be introduced.
They will come naturally. Yeah.
Worms will come.
Yep.
Well, that's fantastic. And what about water? If it does dry out, if you do get a bit excited about the carbon amount of carbon that you're putting
in,
then if you notice that it's got quite dry, then you can add some water.
You can certainly get the hose and just give it a dose and let it wet its way through.
Okay, fantastic. Now I'd love to talk about what you can and can't put into your compost, because I know a lot of, I have a feeling some people might put the wrong things in. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Right.
The don'ts.
What things?
Let's talk about the don'ts first.
All right. What you don't put in is anything that was animal at some stage in its life, so you wouldn't go putting food scraps from, roasts or anything else like that in there, because all you're going to do is attract rats.
Yes.
It will compost, but it'll attract rats, and you don't want those.
Yes, and very stinky. So things like meat and dairy and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, you don't want any of that
put
sort of stuff.
Put your milk in there.
Milk? No, none of that. None of that.
Okay, so nothing apart from
something that is
fruit and vegetables, really. Fruit and vegetables.
Yep.
What about plants? Plants from the garden.
Yeah, they're also a great way of adding both the nitrogen and the carbon content.
Mm.
Now, because I'm passionate about growing food for you know to eat, I have a large mulcher at home. So, and I do a lot of pruning because of the fruit trees. And rather than putting those into a green bin, I put them into a great big heap. And when I get a big heap, I get the mulcher out and then I feed that through and I just let that all go down onto the ground and just leave it.
Okay.
Because what I've created then is exactly the same thing.
Rainforest.
Exactly.
How lovely.
And then you can go into that in about, you know, 2 or 3 months' time and pull it back and it'll just be writhing with compost worms.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And then you use that spot to grow either a new tree in or like I have this year, I've got cucumbers growing in it and I've got climbing beans growing in it. And it's just absolutely going ballistic.
Yeah, I bet. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. What about if you're putting sort of diseased plants, weeds, that sort of thing to a compost? Is that a negative?
That can be bad. But if we go back to the three microbes, if we can create the perfect environment that is getting those thermophiles to come in and work that compost, they will create temperatures up to about 80 degrees Celsius. You couldn't put your hand in there.
Ooh.
It would burn, you'd get third degree burns.
Oh, wow.
And that's just microbes creating that heat. Mm. And what that heat does is it destroys any disease and weeds and seeds, the works.
Yeah.
So you're getting a return out of something that was pretty ordinary going in.
Yeah, okay. But to be on the safe side, would you not throw it? I mean, if you haven't created that heat, maybe avoid putting the diseased plants in.
Into a bag, into the bin.
Yes. Things like metal, plastic, glass, none of those things go in. Animal manure?
That's fine because that's a source of nitrogen.
Okay.
So that's great to put in there.
So that won't get stinky?
No, because it'll break down pretty quickly.
Okay, all right. Fats and oils. I've just got my little list here. Fats and oils wouldn't be good.
No, they're just going to smother things.
Now, carbon, paper, but not glossy paper.
No, not real glossy paper because it's just got too much of the things that make the ink on it.
Yes, and that plastic coating, which is not so good. Bones, dog bones.
No, because you're going to have dogs and rats and things coming back into that compost. Yeah.
Okay, so I think we're right on the negatives. You can't think of anything else, can you?
Well, the other things you would put in small doses are the things that are high in acid. So you wouldn't put in, you know, a couple of bucket loads of citrus peelings or lots of onions.
Eggshells?
Eggshells are fantastic because that's a source of calcium.
Okay.
So that's adding to the combination of the foods that are going to go and feed the plants.
Okay, all right, because I have heard that eggshells, I've heard varying views on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think because if they...
Break them up a little bit.
Okay,
yep.
Crush them.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, now what about what you can put in?
You can put in so many good things, so many good healthy things into your heap. It'll just go on. So the more varied things you put into your compost heap, the better range of things you're going to be getting out of it later on. So lots and lots of plants take up different elements and minerals and things from the soil in their growing process, and by composting those, you're putting those different elements and minerals and things back in.
That's true.
Into the soil.
Okay.
You know, so lots and lots of variation.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm growing lots of tomatoes at the moment.
Yes.
So that once the tomatoes are all finished, the tomato plants will go in. They're very, very heavy feeders, but there'll still be some goodness in those that will then go back into the soil.
And for those of us who don't have the big garden, can we put our dog hair in? Can we put our...
Yes.
Open fire, wood ash?
Yeah, that's all right, but it's not great.
Isn't it?
No, because most of the carbon's gone up the chimney.
Okay, but so it won't hurt.
It won't hurt, no. You can mix it through.
All right.
But you spoke about dog hairs. Yeah, they're fine.
Yes.
And even after you vacuumed the house.
I was about to mention that.
Yeah.
Vacuum lint.
Yep.
Vacuum cleaner lint.
Exactly.
Okay, so empty the bag and throw it in.
Empty that in and just mix a bit over the top and you're
fine. That's fantastic. Tea leaves I've got here. Beer, wine. Why would we be throwing our beer and wine in? I've got it on my list though.
Well, if you're living in a house, if you've got a non-drinker at the moment...
Get those bottles out quickly, throw them out before he changes his mind. Old potting mix. I mean, all those sort of things are all good, aren't they? Newspapers, obviously, are good. Coffee grounds I've even got here.
That's all structure.
Can't be bad.
That's all good structure.
Yeah, yeah. That's fantastic. I think people might have an idea of what to do now. I hope.
Well, I think if they listen and just follow a few of these little easy tips, I think we'll be on the path to creating a wonderful addition to otherwise crappy soils.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, Ben, I am so appreciative of the fact that you said that if we turn that compost, it's as good as, you know, having to try and work out those ratios, because I was wondering how I'm ever going to remember those ratios. So I really appreciate that. Just make sure you get the fork out, or you can get some sort of turner, can't you? Some compost.
Yeah.
So basically, composting is good for so many reasons, for the garden and for our planet. And I just think that we all should be doing it.
Absolutely.
Really, gosh, we should be doing it.
Don't put it in the landfill. Put it in your garden.
Yeah, please. Do it.
Your plants will love you.
Yes, and the planet will too. Yet again, Keith, you have been a wealth of information. I always learn so much from you, and I'm really looking forward to doing this again next week. Are we going to do it again?
We are, absolutely.
Thank you for listening to Muddy Boots. For more information on today's podcast, please go to muddyboots.net.au. And happy gardening.